Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and welcome to our 10-year anniversary show, where we'll be joined by our producers to take a look back at some of our favorite moments from our past shows. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
November is a month of the military family, a time for us to recognize and celebrate military families for everything they do. Military families know what it means to sacrifice. They stand by and support us through drill weekends, annual training, and long deployments. We are able to conduct missions with the highest level of professionalism because of their love and commitment to us. Our families truly understand what it means to serve this nation. To support military families during the month of the military family and beyond, visit Beyond the Yellow Ribbon online. Finally, to Minnesota's military families, on behalf of the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard, thank you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, the show commemorates 10 years of Minnesota Military Radio, and we're going to feature our producers that have been with us for all those times. And on this segment, we have two military producers, Sergeant First Class Ben Houtcooper and Sergeant First Class Johnny Angelo. Joining us, gentlemen, you're on the air this week. Thanks for coming back.
Good to be back on the show.
Oh, no.
Sergeant Ben, say hello.
Hello.
All right. Guys, we want to talk a little bit about the history of the show. And, Johnny, I want to start with you. Over 10 years, we've gone to a lot of different places. We've been able to take the show on the road. And I know you've got a list of some of your favorite memories.
Well, one of the things we always wanted to do with the show is to remain purple. And that when I say purple, that's all services, Army, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whatnot. And to do that, we actually took the show a lot of different places and did them for different audiences at all the places. We've been to Kuwait a couple of times, Camp Ripley. We've been from the library, the Chow Hall. We even went out to Norfolk at the airbase there and did one from, what was that?
Yeah, Naval Base Norfolk for Naval the USS Norfolk. Minnesota.
For the commissioning of the USS Minnesota.
Uh-huh. Yep, and the commissioning of the USS Minnesota. Rosemont, we've done them at the Capitol. We've done shows at the VA. And we've got a couple coming up that we're hoping to get, the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. And then it looks like another one maybe at Wild Wings and of Anika, too. So that's a couple that are coming up that we're hoping with COVID it participates. One of the coolest places we got to go, though, was right outside of Hell, Norway. And that's for the Norwegian Exchange. And a lot of people, the easiest way to describe what the Norwegian Exchange is just go back to that clip I pulled for it. And it's Captain Kieran Kraft of the Norwegian Home Guard.
And Zach is our engineer. If you'd play that clip for us, please. And it's been going on for 44 years. Can you go back to and tell us a little bit about what you know, sir?
Yeah, as you said, it's been for 44 years now. It started with a meeting in 1973 between the two generals of the Home Guard in Norway and U.S. National Guard, talking about all the Norwegians or the Scandinavians living in Minnesota. So they found out that they wanted to keep the relations between Norway and their relatives that has been settlers in the Minnesota around 1900. So they wanted to have a kind of exchange to get more known of the culture on both sides, how it has developed in the States and how it still was in Norway.
Johnny, we were able to visit Norway, and we took Andrew Lee and his crew over there, and they did some live shows for Twin Cities News Talk. Andrew's the guy that put us on the air originally. Yep. And, of course, we've been up to Camp Ripley on the other side of the Norway Exchange when the Norwegians come here while we send troops over to Norway. And that's been quite a partnership for the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, it's cool. And that's some of the places we got to go. But we also talked about everything from the Dakota Wars all the way up to, World War I, World War II, Vietnam. We've done a couple from the Lake Superior Band of Ojibwa. It's amazing. We cover so much stuff, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to be, like Johnny was saying, as inclusive as possible, bringing in our friends from the other services. And covering all of those stories, from when before we could have possibly had guests, so Dakota War, the Civil War and whatnot, through historians from the Minnesota Military Museum or the Minnesota Historical Society. We've been really lucky also with some of our World War II veterans who've been able to tell their stories before we're not able to tell their stories anymore, I should say.
This is our 10th anniversary show, and we have two of our military producers on with us, Sergeant Ben and Sergeant Johnny. And this is Minnesota Military Radio. And Ben, we've been able to talk to people that were in the Bataan Death March. We've talked to veterans from Minnesota that were involved in everything, as far back as we could find them alive. Some Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes.
And so we've covered World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We had some POWs on from Vietnam. And I know that you picked out a clip. You want to tell us about it a little bit?
I did, yeah. It was actually really tough. And some of my second and third favorite clips will be later on in the show. I'm glad some of our fellow producers picked those. But the one that I picked was one of my favorite, Colonel Edwin Nakasone, who was not necessarily in the service for the major part of this story, but he was actually an eyewitness to Pearl Harbor as a kid growing up.
And he's going to tell us about what he experienced on December 7th, 1941 in Hawaii. And Zach, if you could play those clips for us, please.
I was having breakfast one day. That was December 7th, 1941, looking westward towards the mountains. And here I see beautiful formation of planes coming through Kolokolo Pass and after that going down and attacking Schofield Barracks. They did not drop any bombs in Schofield Barracks. Then they zoomed up again, and like another beautiful formation came swooping down Wheeler Army Airfield there and started dropping bombs. And what happened is that they had the bombs fall directly upon the planes, and so the planes go up. I saw the tarmac going up. I saw the hangars going up. I saw all kinds of fire, all kinds of noise coming from there. We were no more than 3 miles in the Heights area in the town of Waihua. And so that's how Pearl Harbor greeted me. And I looked over towards Pearl Harbor, 14 miles to the east, and here the big boom, 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 black ACAC fires. Now later on, a plane comes zooming over my home. I see the great big round ball of red ball underneath the plane's wings and on the fuselage. And I ran into the house and said, wake up, everybody. Japan is attacking us. Japan is attacking us. And then I turned on the radio, and radio was saying, all servicemen return to your bases. All servicemen return to your bases. The Japanese are attacking the service people of Hawaii. And so with this war greeted us, and then I knew exactly that war was with us. I saw a plane up there, but a plane came through, and it had the cockpit open and the scarf flowing out, and I saw the goggles on the pilot. I saw this pilot. He was no more than 250 feet up in the air. And in fact, my neighbor yelled and waved at him. I said, no, he's not our friend, and so on. Well, anyway, when it turned out, war greeted us in that fashion. And then that night we had blackout, and all those things became. And then following day, I was already digging a bomb shelter under my direction of my father. And this is the way war greeted us. It was, I could see, I could see all kinds of planes dogfighting up in the area over Schofield Barracks and over towards Eva Army Airfield, Pearl Harbor, and so on.
Ben, that was an amazing story. Colonel Nakasone was a young man, went on to serve in the military, retired as a colonel, and you told me the story the other day. His son also served.
Yeah.
And got beyond colonel, didn't he?
He did, yeah, absolutely. You know, Colonel Nakasone, the father, he went on to move to Minnesota, actually became a history professor, you know, teaching this topic. But his son entered the service and serves today. I believe he's a four-star general.
Yeah, and these are fellow Minnesotans that served in the military. And just think of that. He saw those zeros flying over his house when he was having breakfast on December 7th, 1941.
Incredible.
Great to get some of our veterans on that can tell us those kind of stories. And guys, we've got to talk a little bit. We couldn't do the show without a lot of help.
Right,
and our team, you want to run through some of the names? We should start with Zach Halverson, who's
absolutely
our engineer
and
makes us sound good. And he's back at the station today working the set. And Zach does a great job for us. And before him, we had an engineer named Adam Tilsner that did a good job for us when we first started the show. If you guys want to go down through some of those names?
I'll take a few. Yeah, absolutely. Right here, Ryan Emerson, who does a fantastic job on social media and web. We'll hear from Beth Barso a little bit later from the Minnesota. Annette Kuiper from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Brad Dobozinski from the Minneapolis VA. Johnny?
We have had a couple different commissioners on, Larry Shelto, and then now the current one is Larry Herkey. We've had the current Adjutant General. We've had General Richard C. Nash. You know, we've can't go on without saying Kevin Olson, Colonel Kevin Olson, retired.
We're going to hear from him later in the show.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a brainchild he had, and it kind of went forth, and it's pretty cool to know that. We've had Pat Kelly from the VA. It just goes on and on. There's such an incredible amount of people that pulled through this show.
Yeah, absolutely. And even on our team, so, you know, whenever I have, need to step back, we've got Staff Sergeant Lindsey Williams, Mr. Bob Brown, Tom.
Well, and can't forget Ralph Huesner was over at the Minneapolis VA before Brad was with us. But, gentlemen, it's been a big team, and it's been a great 10 years. And we're going to talk more about that 10-year anniversary, but right now we've got a message from retired Lieutenant General Rick Nash.
This is Lieutenant General retired Rick Nash, Minnesota's former Adjutant General. Congratulations to Tom Lyons and the team on 10 years of Minnesota military radio programming. 10 years, more than 500 shows, and hundreds of guests later, you've all made a significant difference in the lives of our service members, veterans, and their families by keeping us all informed on the latest news on issues affecting our communities. To the network of more than 60 radio stations across the state that now air this show every week, thank you. You help us reach those in communities from International Falls to Laverne and everywhere in between, to include my hometown station, Little O KCHK in New Prague. Congratulations and thank you for your outstanding service across Minnesota.
Hey, Tom, this is Major General Sean Mankey. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary, 500 shows and 1,000-plus guests. Thanks for all you do for our military families and all you do for the great state of Minnesota.
Well, welcome back to our 10th year anniversary show. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and that was Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, talking about 10 years that we've been doing the show. And I'm joined in this segment by one of our producers, Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And we refer to her fondly as our Yellow Ribbon Lady. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Annette, we got a different show today, and we asked you to pick a couple of clips from some interviews that were your favorites over the past 10 years, and I know that the first one is a lady that touched you very closely.
Yes, I have chosen two women today that have really been inspirational to me that we have had on as guests, and Jill Stevenson was one of them, one of our Gold Star mothers in Minnesota.
And Zach, if you'd play those clips, please.
So, although I knew that Ben was brain dead, there's no chance of recovering. I was very grateful to have that extra time with him, and I used that time to allow the many, many people, many hundreds and probably many thousands of people around the country that were praying for Ben to continue their prayers, because I believe that miracles can happen, and I didn't feel a need or a desire to stop those prayers from coming, because I knew that they would help. If they didn't help Ben, they would help somebody else somehow. And so on the 18th of July is when it was determined that by that test, specific test, that Ben was in fact brain dead. And I had agreed prior to that, in that initial assessment with the doctors, for him to become an organ donor.
Annette, when you met Jill Stevenson, you were working on the Farmington Yellow Ribbon Network, and she contacted you and wanted to donate a very nice bike from her son, Ben, but you didn't realize that she was a Gold Star mother and we had lost Ben.
Not know until she came to bring the bike. It was a really expensive dirt bike, and the Farmington Yellow Ribbon Network was hosting a picnic for the Rosemount unit and their families. So when a young military youth, son of a service member in the Minnesota National Guard, was able to receive the bike, there just wasn't a dry eye. And little did I know that also in bringing the bike to me and the day of the party, the picnic for the unit, Jill brought the heart recipient who had received Ben's heart. And so it was just an honor to meet her. And she just kept saying that she was a strong ranger, because she had a ranger, Army Ranger heart inside her.
She told us the story when she joined us that day that, of course, Ben became an organ donor, and that the first time she met the recipient that of Ben's heart, he let her touch his chest and feel the heart beating. And I don't think I've ever been so moved as I was that day when she told that story.
Oh, I know. And just her strength and in helping us educate the listeners of Minnesota Military Radio of ways that we can offer comfort to Gold Star family member, those tips have always stayed with me, to not let their service member be forgotten and to not be afraid to ask the parents about them.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper about her memories as a producer in the past 10 years of Minnesota Military Radio. And Annette, we met another very, very interesting lady from 3M. And I know that you had a chance to look through her photo book from the time she spent in World War II.
Oh, my goodness. I did not want to let June Fremont go home that day. It was so wonderful to look at all her memories being a Marine during World War II. And she was a member of our 3M, one of our Yellow Ribbon companies that really helped support their employees that are military connected.
She had quite a story. She started at 3M at age 50 and then proceeded to work there for 43 more years and was a key employee, loved by all over at 3M. And I think she told you a story about meeting the president's wife back in World War II.
Yes, just to have her tell me how she shook Eleanor Roosevelt's hand and got to meet her, and just her challenges of being a female Marine back in the day, but also her big wins of what she was able to accomplish in her life and working at the Pentagon. I was just in awe of her the entire time she was there.
And when she came in that day, she was dressed as a Marine in a Marine warm-up suit. Zach, if you could play that clip, I think it starts with her in boot camp.
When I went to boot camp, I wore a size 6.5 shoe. When I came out, I wore an 8.
How did that happen?
Well, because we march and march and march and march.
And ate a lot of groceries.
Yes. And we tried to do everything. Our barracks was set up the same as the men's, as far as any activity and so forth was as close as that. And I was a BAR man in my squad. BAR was a Browning automatic rifle.
Yes, ma'am.
I had bruises on my shoulder from shooting because the backfire, but I was good with the pistol.
Annette, the day we met her, I think she could still shoot that BAR. Funny to hear her say she was the BAR man.
I do too. She was a Spitfire and just a wonderful storyteller.
And Annette, the other thing that we don't have a lot of time to talk about, of course, is you brought on all kinds of Yellow Ribbon networks that we've been able to meet on the show over 10 years. And how many Yellow Ribbon companies now?
We have 72 Yellow Ribbon companies, Tom, and we have over 95 Yellow Ribbon networks in almost 200 communities across the state. So our Yellow Ribbon networks are truly making a difference in our communities across the state.
And we look forward to meeting more of those as we go forward. Annette, thanks for joining us today. Zach, we've got a message that I'd like you to play now from Mr. Jeff Tyler.
Hi, Tom. It's Jeff Tyler, Region President for iHeartMedia here in Minneapolis. And we are delighted to congratulate you on your 10th anniversary of the Minnesota Military Show. I came here 6 years ago and stepped into an already tremendous undertaking that you lead as the host of that show. And we are very pleased to help produce and send out to the over 60, I guess, affiliates around the state of Minnesota. You guys have done great work over the years. You've helped many, many families. You've brought information through the key parts of the military to people that need that information each week. And congratulations on a great job, and we're proud to be a part of that show. Here's another 10 years. Congratulations.
Hi, I'm Doug Bly, President of the Board of Directors for the Minnesota Patriot Guard and former state captain. Congratulations to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on 10 years and 544 episodes of the best news you can find on the state of our Minnesota National Guard, veterans programs, and the activities of the many great military support organizations here in Minnesota. The Minnesota Patriot Guard is deeply honored to have been part of the show since almost the beginning. The monthly From the Flag Line segment has been our opportunity to reach out to current and potential members and the public on what we do and how to join. We've shared many great moments on the radio with Tom and many sad moments as well. This unique radio show is a weekly opportunity for listeners to hear from current military leaders and so many of our valuable veterans. We appreciate what the Minnesota Military Radio Hour has done not just for us, but the many service members and veterans who get an hour every week of news tailored just to them. Congratulations again to Tom and the staff of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour from the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Thank you, Doug, and welcome back to our 10-year anniversary show. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to be joined by our producer from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Our Minnesota veterans' homes provide quality health care in an environment of trust, dignity, and sharing. Our homes provide a safe and comfortable environment for veterans and their spouses to call home. Veterans' homes are located across the state in five locations, including Minneapolis, Fergus Falls, Hastings, Laverne, and Silver Bay. In addition to these homes, plans are moving forward for three new veterans' homes, which will be located in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. Our vision is to continually develop and deliver a safe, dignified, and compassionate health care system while providing a nurturing and engaging home environment for our Minnesota heroes. We deliver personalized care according to the individual needs of each resident. Our facilities are operated 24/7 to ensure the safety and comfort of our veterans. If you are a loved one are interested in applying to one of our veteran homes, applications are available at minnesotaveteran.org. At the Minnesota Veterans Homes, every day is Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is our longtime producer from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Beth Barstow, who is the Public Affairs Manager and has been with us almost since the beginning of Minnesota Military Radio. Let's hear it for Beth. Hey, Beth!
Hi, Tom. It's great to be back on.
Yep, it's good to have you on that side of the camera and of the microphone for a change. Beth, we talked for a while about this anniversary show, and I asked you to think about some of the guests that you brought on the show, and you've come up with a couple. What were you thinking about when you were doing that?
So my thought was, since I'm a veteran myself, I wanted to go back and highlight a few clips from women who kind of paved the way for future veterans like myself that are female. So I picked two World War II veterans that I thought would be great to highlight during this show.
And one of them was part of the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps. That's Ann Kormstrom. And the other one was part of the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, and that was Betty Strofus. So I think we're going to start out with Ann Kormstrom. And, Zach, if you could play those two clips for us, then Beth and I will talk about it afterwards.
So they wanted the women to sign up for the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps mm-hmm. to do every job they could to free up the men so they could go fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a pretty good description.
Okay. And then you said you went to training to become part of the Aerial Photography School.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that?
It was very interesting. I can't remember now how many months the original course was. But in those days, they were jamming everything up. They were shortening everything up because they needed help so badly. We were not in very good shape when the world started as far as troops went. So we did it in a shorter time. They cut it about in half. And I don't remember just how many months it was. It's the first time I went west of the Mississippi was when I was on my way to Lowry Field. That was very exciting.
I understand you were part of the first 50 women in uniform west of the Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi. Nobody had ever seen them before. The guys on the bases hadn't seen them. The civilians hadn't seen them. It was kind of interesting.
You didn't scare them, did you?
I don't know.
I'll bet not.
Probably not. They were very, very careful with us. They wouldn't let us take a drink in public. We couldn't. Of course, we were working so hard, we didn't have a chance to get in public anyway.
And then what happened after D-Day? Got a lot busier, I'll bet.
We were very busy. Patton was running wild in Europe and didn't have any maps to show him where he was going. We had to try and keep ahead of him, fly over and fly him back and get him made and send him back to him. And it was really hard. We were working double shifts at that time.
And he wasn't waiting for your photographs, was he?
He didn't care what we were doing. He was moving as fast as he could move.
But the generals he reported to wanted to know where he was going, so I'm sure they looked at all the photos.
I'm sure they did.
So how many shifts did you have in the photo lab?
Three.
Three shifts? Was it running around the clock?
Around the clock. Always around the clock.
And when there were big battles, it was going even faster.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How many photos do you think you processed?
We processed overall over 25 million.
25 million photos
mm-hmm.
in a period of how long were you there? A year or 2 years?
Year and a half or so.
Beth Ann Kornstrom was a delightful lady and very busy in World War II. Can you imagine World War II, 25 million photos in 1.5 years? The women that signed up and went off to war did an incredible job back then, just like they do today.
They did. And it's amazing just to hear her talk about General Patton running wild and how important these photos were, because if they didn't have these maps, these aerial maps, then, you know, they were just basically trying to figure it out themselves. So I think it's just a huge, I think for a lot of people listening who may have not heard this interview, it's just so cool to hear about women in World War II that made such a big difference for the war in itself and obviously the generations to come. They were pioneers.
And Beth, we've got another one that we want to play a couple of clips for. This lady was a part of the Women Air Force Service Pilots. And Zach, would you play those clips, please?
Betty, I'm curious. At what age did you decide you wanted to fly aircraft?
Well, I was 21 years old when I started flying, but I was flying a little Piper Cub, 65-horsepower Cub back in Faribault, Minnesota. And I was flying there for about a year, and then I heard about this women's organization about flying military aircraft. That's my idea of flying. She said, "That's all right. I'll just hold this paper saying that you're going to resign until tomorrow. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to get you a ride on AT-6. I got to ride that AT-6. I came home. I called that boy up. I'm not coming home." He said, "If you don't, I'm going to go home and marry somebody else." I said, "You go right ahead. We both lived happily ever after."
Beth, Elizabeth, Betty Strofus was just a delight. Unfortunately, we've since lost her, but that second clip she was talking about, she was going to leave the women's Air Force service pilots and go home and get married. And they said, "Well, wait a minute, let's get that ride in that AT-6. And she was just wild and crazy when she was telling us that story. That's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, she was a hoot. And it, you know, being a woman pilot who's training men that go overseas to fight in the war at the time. That clip about her talking about that AT-6, she was very, very great. And it was such an honor to have her on the show.
Beth, you picked a couple of great ladies from World War II to feature on today's show. And I want to thank you for that. And I look forward to working with you for the next decade.
Thank you, Tom. I do as well.
And Zach, can you play? We've got a message from retired Major General Larry Shalito.
This is Major General Larry Shalito, and I just want to thank Minnesota Military Radio for the 10 years that they've been on the air. As I've done some of this research, I find out there's over 500 shows, and they've had over 1,200 guests. What's really enjoyable is I had the opportunity, along with our soldiers, to travel pretty much around the world. And the thing about Minnesota Military Radio is that they were there to tell the stories and to document the stories. But this couldn't have been done without the support of the industry out there. iHeartMedia and Twin Cities News Talk has just been outstanding in their support. And we've been very, very fortunate with all the affiliate stations and listeners across the state of Minnesota. They have made the difference. Over my years, you'd be surprised at the number of people that heard my voice in outstate Minnesota. I like that. And last but never least is to Tom and his team, who through their dedication and love and devotion to our troops, thank you, for without you, this could not have been done. So God bless, take care, and continue the good work.
Thank you. Hey, Tom, this is Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA. From all of us here at the Minneapolis VA, I want to congratulate you and your entire military radio team for what you've done for us over the past 10 years. You know, you have been a great partner of ours for at least the 7 years where I've been here, and I know that preceded my time here as well. Well done, and wishing you continued great success for another 10 years. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Kelly. Welcome back to our 10-year anniversary show. Joining me now is Brad Dobuzinski, who is the Public Relations Officer for the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and one of our producers, and he's traveling today on the way back from Wisconsin. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, Tom.
Brad, like we asked the other producers, we asked you to think of some clips from interviews from the show that we were going to play, and the first one here is a job that's really never done. It's all about homelessness, and Zach, would you play that clip, please?
No, the work isn't ever done, but we have made incredible impact so far. Since 2010, we've decreased veteran homelessness in the state of Minnesota almost by 58%. And I know nationwide it's been cut in half. And the work is continuing. And I know that our team and our community partners that we work with on homeless veterans issues are more dedicated than ever to making that goal come to fruition.
Now, I know here in Minnesota we've got something called the Homeless Registry, where we try to locate the people that are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless. But how do you find everybody that needs help?
It really is a strong coordinated outreach effort, again, between VA and our community partners. Once a veteran is identified as being homeless, they're added to the Veteran Homeless Registry, which is statewide. And I just want to mention that since January 2015, when the registry was developed, we've housed 1,116 previously homeless veterans through our registry partners. It's really key to what we do. And the fact is that we're looking at each individual veteran by name on a weekly basis with our partners and really identifying what is the best housing plan and what is the quickest of ending veteran homelessness for that individual.
Brad, that was Jonell Glubke, and our listeners after 10 years know that the Minneapolis VA healthcare system works closely with a lot of partners to try to eliminate veteran homelessness.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, Jonell's done a great job with our community resource and referral center in Minneapolis. And I'll tell you, homelessness continues to be a problem, but without her and her team, we wouldn't be keeping it and getting it at a better place until we can finally get homelessness completely taken out of the veteran community.
And Brad, one of the things that I talk to Director Kelly about it quite often, I tease him about wearing his hard hat because there's a lot of construction going on out there. And Zach, would you play the next clip with Dr. Aaron Krebs, please?
Doctor, last time you were on, we were talking about the women's clinic, and quite often on this show, we talk about the fact that more and more women are serving in the military these days, and I would guess that the VA across the country is probably catching up and trying to expand their services for our women veterans, and I understand you've got some new construction coming out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
That's right. We have approval for a brand new women's clinic building, which is very exciting. This is our 25th anniversary, actually, as a comprehensive women's health center at the Minneapolis VA. So finally, we're really moving into new and beautiful digs that will, I think, suit our clinic very well.
And so for our women veterans, you can do just about everything except deliver a baby, as I recall.
Yes, we are not going into the baby delivery business, but other than that, we can do most things, yes.
More and more women have been serving in the military the last few decades, and Director Kelly tells us all the time that we need more space to take care of our women veterans, and the brand new women's clinic coming to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. This is something that's been in the works for a while, and we're breaking ground this summer coming up, summer of 2021. And we are really excited because the veteran community, women's veterans are an expanding part of our community, and we need to take care of them as well.
Brad, we've got another clip from that interview with Dr. Krebs, and she's talking about some research. Zach, would you play that, please?
And, Doctor, you just completed and published, I understand, the a study of opioids. What was it you were, what was your thesis? What were you trying to do when you first started the study?
Well, we know that opioids have proven benefits in certain kinds of situations, but they're often used in other situations. And one of the most common uses for opioids recently has been long-term use for problems like back pain and arthritis pain. And so we wanted to know if you use opioids versus sticking to non-opioid pain medications over the long term, are opioids better than non-opioid medications for that kind of pain, for the long-term back pain, arthritis pain, those common problems?
So these are chronic, painful conditions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Brad, that was the another topic that we talk about quite frequently with the Minneapolis VA is all the research programs that go on out there. We're really lucky in the Twin Cities here to have such a top-notch VA medical center take care of our veterans.
We really are. I mean, I've been working there for, well, it'll be a year here in about 2 weeks. And the amount that I've learned with just the research department and the professionalism of all of our healthcare providers is incredible. And Dr. Krebs's research and all the other research, it is great to be part of such a great VA hospital system.
Brad, I look forward to working with you in the future and telling more stories about the doctors and all of the people that take care of our veterans and all the great things that happen out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Yeah, I look forward to it too, Tom, and congratulations, and let's go for another 10 years.
All right, Brad, you got a deal, and thanks for calling in today on your way back home from Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Zach, we've got another message, an important one, from Andrew Lee from Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. He's really the gentleman that put us on the air 10 years ago. Could you play that for us, please?
Hey, it's Drew Lee from Twin Cities News Talk, the Justice and Drew program. To Tom Lyons and the entire Minnesota Military Radio crew, thank you for doing what you've done for 10 years. It's been an honor to be even a little part of the growth and progress of this program. And I'm just so proud to have you guys on the station and to have played the what little role that I could play in helping you guys get off the ground. You took that ball and ran with it and created something very, very special. So thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thank you to the whole team. I look forward to another 10 years of this fantastic, useful, helpful, valuable program.
Joining me now is retired Colonel Kevin Olson. Kevin Olson, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I think you remember the show.
I think so. I had the pleasure of being on show number one and listened to almost everyone ever since, Tom. So congratulations on leading our whole team effort to get us to 10 years.
Sir, I can remember when we first started this, I came over and I met with General Nash. You were the public affairs officer then and eventually got promoted to full colonel and the communications director. And I can remember the look on your face when he told you that we had an opportunity to do a Minnesota military public affairs program, 1 hour, and it's a weekly, and we're going to do this. And I think you said something like, we're going to do what?
Well, it was definitely a challenge in it, but you know, the challenge of doing a radio show that like this, where nothing has ever been done with it, you know, it's the resources. I remind you that, you know, Sergeant Ben and Johnny, they're active duty soldiers in the National Guard, you know, and Annette's a full-time director for state government. You know, Beth is a communications officer for a state agency, and Brad works full-time directing communications at the VA Medical Center. It really takes a lot of effort. So it's a great tribute to the leaders of those organizations to commit such time and talent, and also for iHeart to commit, you know, the talent in the form of the producers like Zach and before him Adam. So it's really just the team of teams coming together. I knew it was challenging, but Tom, you really led the group through it. So it's great content.
Sir, it was an incredible opportunity that iHeartMedia gave us to go on the air for free and then eventually to add our network of 63 stations. Who could have guessed where this would go back when we started?
Well, I can tell you this, Tom, that whenever we are out together and talk about the show, people come up, and if we're in a different state, they'll ask, gosh, why can't we do something like this? And I'll say the same thing you will. There's nothing like it, and it's hard to be replicated.
Well, sir, it's been a pleasure and a great ride, and I'm glad that you're still involved in the show, even now that you've retired, and looking forward to the next 10 years.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thanks to the great team and all that we've accomplished. Great work.
That was retired Colonel Kevin Olson on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, we wanted to take a little bit of time in the show for a small surprise. We can't have a 10-year anniversary show without a surprise, so for our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Yes, sir.
We're good to hear from you, Tom.
Hi, Commissioner. So this is a surprise.
Yes, I heard that you're having a little event today.
10 years of Minnesota Military Radio, sir.
Wow, that is quite an accomplishment, Tom. 540-some shows?
544 today, sir. We are very resilient, my team and I, and Beth has done a marvelous job as part of the team.
Well, Tom, I just wanted to get on for a second. I know you have probably a packed show like you normally do, but I just want to say thank you on behalf of the 322,000 veterans in Minnesota, and just say that we appreciate you getting the message out to all the veterans and keeping us all informed on what's going on. You've done a great job over the last 10 years.
Thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you again. Congratulations on 10 years, Tom. You have a great show today.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for calling in. Today's show celebrates 10 years of our weekly Minnesota Military Radio show that now goes out to 63 stations all over Minnesota. My thanks to all of our producers, our flagship station, Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, and our engineers, and to all of our guests who come on the show to tell the stories of our service members, veterans, and their families, and all of the resources available to help them with military service-related issues. It's been the honor of a lifetime to host this show, and something I never imagined when I enlisted in the United States Air Force 50 years ago. I'm looking forward to the next decade of Minnesota Military Radio. To all of our loyal listeners, thank you for taking this amazing journey with us, and stay tuned for more Minnesota Military Radio stories as we move into the future. Thank you to all of our guests today and for all who recorded congratulatory messages for this special anniversary show. Please join us next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.